Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 4. This is the confidence we have before God through our faith in Christ. We are not able, because of our natural abilities, to claim any credit for ourselves. Our ability comes from God. He has made us able to be ministers of the new covenant, which is based not on the letter of the law, but on the Spirit of God. For religious legalism kills, but God's Spirit gives life. Amen. I've read that, but that's actually where we're going to end. just in your heads, that's where we're going. And so you know now. But to get to that point, we're going to read quite a lot of the Bible. We're going to go for a little journey. It's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Good. I'm pleased about that. Okay. So we'll go to Philippians 3. And that's where we'll actually begin. From verse 4. If it would be justifiable for anyone to put confidence in these outward physical things, I would certainly be the first to qualify. Yes, as a Jew, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I certainly belong to the people of Israel. I belong to the tribe of Benjamin, a true Hebrew of the Hebrews. I kept the law like a good Pharisee and was full of zeal in the way I persecuted the church. And I was perfect in my legalistic righteousness. So Paul, saying how perfect he was when he kept every single law, he was circumcised, he did everything like a good person. But this was when he was in prison, and he was saying, I kept everything. And then it goes on and said, I used to think all these things were to my credit. And yet now I have Christ, I realize I gain nothing from them. So everything he'd done, everything he kept, he actually gained nothing at all. So I now regard those things as worthless compared to the greatest privilege of all, of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Amen. For his sake, I left everything of the past behind and considered those things rubbish, so that I could have Christ and live in him. Seeking my own righteousness through obeying the law was futile when compared to the righteousness I have now through faith in Christ. This is the true righteousness that comes as a gift from God and can only be received through faith in Christ. I want to know Christ and his resurrection power. I am prepared to be at one with him by sharing in his sufferings. Like him, I am ready to die for the truth and then somehow by his power be raised from the dead. Amen. I love the truth. I'm like, there you go, that's it. What else can I say? Really. But there's a big difference. On Friday night, with the students at Catch Up, we looked at the Old Covenant, and it was really good fun because I did nothing and they did everything. And we went through the Old Testament looking at the different covenants that God made with people in the Old Testament. And it was really good. We learnt a lot, I hope. I learnt a lot. And in a way, that's what I kind of want to do today. That actually, what Paul was saying was that he stuck to these religious laws, this religious legalism, all these things. He stuck to them like anything. And it was this perfect. It said that he was perfect in his ways of keeping to the law. But actually, then he goes on and says, I got nothing from it. I didn't gain anything. And now, because he's imprisoned and he has the life of Christ within him, he's saying, I gained nothing. It was worthless. I did all this, but I gained nothing. And now he's saying, but now I have Christ, and I have my faith, my righteousness in him. It's a completely different story. And it's the same, the Old Covenant. Like, God made covenants. He made them. You have the Noahic Covenant. He made it with Noah and with Abraham and Moses and David and stuff. And he made covenants with them. But they didn't succeed. They weren't successful. They weren't successful covenants. Everything Everything God said in his covenant, behind every word, is his desire to bless his people and to give to his people. So when he went to them and gave his agreement and said, this is what I want, this is what I do, you know, it was with a heart of, and I want to give and I want to bless. So if you do this, you know, here's my promises and these are my requirements. You know, this is how he gave these covenants. And it was always with a desire to please. I need a different Bible. To look in the Old Testament. And then he goes through it. But in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, I think we'll just go to Ezekiel. That would be the best one. He talks of what's to come somewhere. So much smaller. It is. I'm like, oh, it's so much smaller. I can't see it now. Okay, so in Ezekiel 36, verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. So he's giving promises, okay? This is the before, obviously before Jesus, before the new covenant was about. This was like the foretelling, if you like. Is that the right word? Not sure. The foretelling of what was to come and what was going to happen, okay? But what I want to pick up on is the old covenant was not successful, as I said. The new covenant was successful. But why was it successful? Because of what's just been promised. That new heart, the new heart, to take out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. To put his spirit within us to therefore make it successful.
Hallelujah.
Like, Noah completely, Abraham, all disobedient. Yes, they were obedient and they were brilliant men of faith. You know, it says in Hebrews 11 how, you know, they're in the New Testament. It says how amazing their faith was and what brilliant men they were. But the covenants, the requirements God gave them, they weren't fulfilled. Yet, he obviously saw this and was like, right, I want to make a covenant with my people. And he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. It's a covenant of a relationship, not of the law. And this is the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Yeah? It's complete relationship. He's not writing laws out on a tablet. He's not saying, this is what you should do. He's not saying, these are the rules you must follow. He's saying, I will be your God, you will be my people. I will be your father, you will be my child. Pure relationship. Love it. So that heart of flesh has to be in us. We can't. If I had a heart of stone, I can't relate to anyone. I can't relate to any of you, let alone God the Father. If you have a heart of stone, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing in you. It's just cold stone. Revelation. But he says, I'll give you a heart of flesh. He wanted a lasting relationship. One that would last. A covenant that would be successful. A covenant that would last for eternity. Because your inheritance is there in eternity. And so that's what he wanted. He tried lots of other covenants. But it's the heart, it's the relationship. That's the one he wanted. So many bits. Jesus. So I was going to go somewhere, then I changed my mind. We know the relationship Jesus had with the Father. We know it was absolutely awesome. Jesus was completely submitted, completely obedient. His heart was for his Father. Jesus lived in covenant with his Father. Jesus said, I don't want to do anything that I don't see you do. I don't want to say anything I don't hear you say. That relationship that Jesus and the Father had and have, that was a covenant relationship. That was one of which he wouldn't do anything of his own. He wouldn't do anything of his own will. It was completely of the Father's. Completely. His obedience, his desire to always please the Father when he was on earth. It was a covenant relationship. The only free time he had, he devoted to the Father. Like, you know, the only time crowds went around him and people weren't saying, come on, do this, heal me. You know, he was with the Father. It was a covenant relationship. And that was significant for us. If Jesus and the Father weren't in that covenant relationship, we wouldn't be in that covenant relationship. Because we have his Spirit, we have access into that covenant relationship. But if it wasn't there already, if it wasn't existing, would we have it? Would we, you know, the Spirit that came into us, would we then have access into what was already existing, the relationship Jesus and the Father had and have. So, the new covenant goes through it in Hebrews. Goes through it a lot in Hebrews, but we're not going to read the whole of Hebrews, so don't panic. But it does give us promises. It says in Hebrews 7:22. He refers, of course, to the priesthood of Jesus, who guarantees that we are part of a better covenant. We are able to enjoy a closer relationship with God than was possible under the law, the old covenant, with its former human priesthood. So Jesus is our guarantee for a better, for a successful covenant, one that will be maintained by us. Because of his Spirit. In Hebrews 9:15, it promises of our inheritance, an internal inheritance, and that's another promise that God laid down for our covenant, for what we have access to. But it's this existing relationship that Jesus came with that allows us access because of his Spirit, because of what was already going on. So it gives us direct access into the relationship, into what was already happening between Jesus and the Father and what is now happening between Jesus and the Father in heaven. Because his Spirit is in us, he's opened up the way for this covenant relationship. And that's awesome, because when Jesus was on earth, his desires were to please the Father. His submission was complete. He was completely submitted. His obedience was 100% obedient to the Father. And because his Spirit's in us, our desires surely are the same. Hallelujah. Because it's his Spirit and not ours. Therefore, we desire to please the Father. Therefore, our submission, our obedience can all be the same. Because our desire is, yeah, I want to please. And from that, it says that it's impossible to please God without faith. Bear with me. I know this sounds a little bit off the track, but it's not. And faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Yeah? And it's all about our relationship that holds the covenant together. So I'm looking for a certain quote, which is way ahead of where I wanted to go, but it's good to say it now. So, it's our faith. For it is written, God will never put to shame anyone who trusts in him. You see, your faith must come from your heart, for then you are made one with God. So our faith... Sorry, I didn't finish that. You see, your faith must come from your heart, for then you are made one with God. But you must also openly declare your faith to receive the full salvation that is his gift to you. So our faith, that is in us, because we said yes to Jesus, it's in Ephesians 1, that is dependent on our faith of us saying yes, that we're adopted into his family. So, therefore, our faith is in us because we've said yes. And it's the same faith because it's Jesus' spirit, so we can operate in the same manner of which Jesus did. And this, it's just incredible, actually, because it's all processing in my head right now. Which is really funny. But faith is a relationship. Because it's from faith. How do we get faith? By hearing the word of God. Okay, the word of God is all about who he is. Yeah. And we learn about who he is. And that develops our faith. The more I learn more about God, the more I want to put my trust in him. Not in the... Not in the fact that I believe in Jesus, but in actually who he is. So my trust and my faith is exactly in him, and not in the fact that, oh yes, I've said yes, therefore I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Forget about the fact that I believe. The fact is my hope and my trust and my hope and my faith is actually in him. And it's the character that I'm learning in here, day by day, when I read it. That's what's growing me. That's what's developing my faith. That's what's making it stronger and deeper and giving me a more willingness to completely trust in him. Not in my ability to believe in him, but in him. So when it says stand on the word, it's actually believing that this what is written here, you can stand on it. You can say yes. You know, God says, no word out of my mouth shall return void. I'm standing on that this morning. And I don't believe it's going to crumble under my feet.
Amen.
Because I believe that he said it, and I believe in his character. I believe in my father as a person.
Yes.
Not in my belief in him, but I believe and trust in him as a person.
Hallelujah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Good. I'm pleased. I'm very pleased. But faith is a relationship that develops, that grows. When he says that, you know, he will, I don't know what the scripture says, he will continue our salvation, he will, no one helping me, thanks, people. It's really kind of you. But, you know, it's a process. It's all a process. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's a relationship. So our faith grows as our relationship grows. As we learn who he is, as we learn who our Lord is, man alive, does our faith grow in us.
Hallelujah.
Because it's all this relationship. Thanks. Praise God. This is good. Come on, Jesus. Yes. So it's all about... It is. Everything I try and look at, it all comes back to relationship. Everything I try and study, anything, you know, every message that was preached anywhere, when it always comes back to relationship.
Yeah.
Always. And that's our covenant with him. To be in relationship with him, to... Oh, man. It's impossible to please him without faith. Faith is our relationship with God. It's impossible to please him unless you have a relationship with him. So our faith grows as our relationship grows. And I don't want that to... I don't know if this is going to sound a bit strange, but I don't want my faith to be a hindrance to me. You know, I want it to continue growing. Therefore, I need to be spending time with the Father. Therefore, I need to be worshipping. I need to be reading. I need to be knowing who he is. I need to be seeking out exactly who he is. I don't want my faith to hold me back because it's not growing as my relationship's growing. I don't want it to prevent, stop, or anything. I want it to move. As my relationship moves, I want my faith to move, which it will if I continue in that relationship, if I continue to learn about who my Father is, if I continue to search his word, to know, you know, he says that he will search and know us. I want to search and know him. I want to, like, dig out absolutely everything. You guys have had a marriage weekend. You've learned loads. You've searched, you've known. Do you know what I mean? That teaching makes you, it does, it makes you know one another. You kind of search each other, you know each other. And I know when we did it, there was stuff that I'd never even thought of or considered, or just conversations came out of it that we would never have had ourselves because they were provoked by the teaching. And it was awesome because you learn each other, you know each other, your relationship develops because you know each other. It grows, it gets deeper because you learn so much more about each other. So your faith is in the one you believe in, not in the belief itself. Is that? Do you get that? Do you understand that? That's good. That's very good. So back to this first scripture, 2 Corinthians 3. This is the confidence we have before God through our faith in Christ. We are not able, because of our natural abilities, to claim my credit for ourselves. Our ability comes from God. He has made us able to be ministers of the new covenant, which is based not on the letter of the law, but on the Spirit of God. For religious legalism kills, but God's Spirit gives life. Verse 6 is mainly what I just want to speak about, actually. He's made us able to be ministers of the new covenant. Jesus is able in heaven to minister through us. We're not ministers. No. In of ourselves, no. With his Spirit, yes. Jesus ministers through us here on earth. He's no longer here, he's in heaven, you know, but he's still going for it for us. He still is there between, you know, he's still there, he's still interceding for us, he's still approaching the Father for us, he's still there doing everything for us, but he ministers through us here on earth. And that's because of this relationship. That's because of the covenant. That's because we're getting to know him and our faith is developing. But it's all through this relationship. So everything that Jesus did on earth and everything he's doing in heaven is now him... is now being ministered through us. So every... I don't know how to put it. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Don't he works through us, which we all know. But it's because of this relationship that he works through us. And it's so much more than, it's so much more than, for example, me saying, I believe in Jesus. You know, it's so much more than that. It's me saying, this is my Lord, this is my God. I know exactly who he is. I know exactly what he wants me to do. I know exactly where I am going because I know my God. And it's that knowing, it's that personal relationship, it's that, oh man, it's that deepness that he wants to minister through us. And so, like, standing here today, absolutely cannot do it. Jesus comes along. Yes, I say yes to him. He puts his spirit in me. It's amazing. It's great. Now I can stand here because he's doing it. I am doing absolutely nothing. My head is completely fuzzy. He is doing it, and it's amazing. And that's him ministering through us on earth. So day to day, he ministers through us. We don't do anything. We can't do anything. But oh my word, because we know who he is, and because we don't believe, because our trust is not on our belief, it's in who he is. Yes. So when we read that we are the aroma of Christ, we are the aroma of Christ, and we know that. You know, it's not a belief, it's a knowing. That's what I'm trying to say, isn't it? It's not a belief, it's a knowing. And that knowing of having complete security, complete confidence in every attribute that you read of your God. And it's all out of relationship, it's all out of this covenant that he said, you know, I will be their God, they will be my people. That relationship, right from the beginning, he said, I want a covenant of relationship. Before, he'd had covenants of laws and requirements and stuff, and they didn't work. It was a covenant of relationship, an everlasting relationship that we'll have forevermore, because that is exactly what he's promised. It's exactly what he's promised. So when we stand on the word, we know it won't crumble beneath our feet, because we believe in the person, not in our belief. Is this making sense? We believe in the person, we believe in his character, we believe in his attributes, we believe everything we know. That's what we live for, man. To glorify it, to glorify every single word that he says. It's what we live for, it's what we do every single day. Pretty awesome, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I quite like that. So, yes. I don't know, I really just want everyone to just, I don't know, I really got something from this. I got something this morning when it processed in my head. That actually I'm believing in the person, I'm believing in God. Yeah. You know, your emotions can rule, your emotions can, you know, get in you. And they can completely knock what you believe. They can completely, you know, come against you. And, you know, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling sick, if you're feeling whatever, then, you know, your whole belief can go, woo, I'm not sure. But if you believe in the person, if you say, well, okay, you know, it's a bit rocky today, my emotion's all over the place, but I believe in God, I believe what he says, I stand on his word, then it's really not going to matter what your emotions are doing. Forget them. They can't do anything. You know? He who is greater in you than him in the world, and, you know, whoever is born of God will overcome, even to their faith. They will overcome. That's amazing that we will overcome. Even to our faith, man. There's nothing. We will overcome every single situation. We will. Because we believe in him and not on our belief.
Amen.
Cool. I'll leave it there now. Because my head hurts.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.